Blog Talk Radio.
If you could write a tell-all book, would you write a tell-all book? If you could write a tell-all, would you write a tell-all? You know, like sometimes when you look over your life, you think about all of the things that have happened to you. You think about all the things that you remember, the things that people make you remember, things that you may have forgotten, things that you have put in the back of your mind that you didn't feel were useful to you anymore, things that you've suppressed, all the experiences that you've had. So don't get me wrong. When I say a tell-all book, I'm not talking about tell-all as far as telling on somebody, because sometimes when we hear the word tell-all, we think about, you know, telling on somebody, or we think about revealing what somebody else has done to us or uncovering some kind of secret. But a tell-all book really is just a biography of your life without holding back on holding back on certain details and or not being very discretionary about sensitive information. A tell-all book. Many celebrities write a tell-all book, but if you notice, most of the celebrities that have wrote a tell-all book or have written a tell-all book really didn't tell all. They told a lot. It's hard to put a whole life story, especially one that is over 20, 30, 40 years in the making. It's hard to put that all in a book of how many pages. People normally don't want to read a book that has more than, I would say, 200 or 300 pages. 300 pages is a lot for some people. But for most people that are going to buy a book or be interested in buying a book, they're probably going to be more interested in a book where they know that they can read it fast, get it over with quick, and move on to the next thing or go into the Q&A sessions. So a tell-all book. Have you ever thought about writing a tell-all book for yourself, about yourself? Has anybody ever encouraged you to write a tell-all book? Has anybody ever said, you know what, you've been through so much, you have such a story, you have such a big base of experiences that you've had, you should write a book about it. I think it would be a bestseller. I think that people would really be interested in it. I think that your story is one that needs to be told. The game is to be told, not to be sold. The game is to be told, not to be sold. Has anybody ever encouraged you to do it? I know for myself, people have told me, you should definitely write a book about your life. And I'm going to ask y'all some questions about whether you have ever considered that for yourself and why or not you have decided to do it. Maybe you're working on it, or maybe you're thinking about it seriously, or maybe you're saying, I know for myself, I'm thinking, like, in theory, it sounds like something that would be good to do. In reality, I would have to change so much. Like, there's too much protected content for me. At least in my mind, it is. There's too much protected content. Like, I don't think that I could write a tell-all book without involving people, because most of my experiences involve other people. And I don't want to make people uncomfortable about what happened, because I have a tendency to tell what really happened in certain situations and not pull punches. The experiences that I really remember, I really remember. And I don't normally sugarcoat them or I mean, maybe people think I do, but I really try not to only tell my side of the story or my perspective or just what I saw. That's why when I tell a story to people, sometimes they'd be like, oh, just get to the point. I'm like, well, it all depends on what point you're talking about. But anyway, a tell-all book. Would you ever consider writing a tell-all book? What's going on, T. Carrie Wright? Morning, noon, and night. It's good to see you and have you in my sight. Have you ever considered writing a tell-all? Have you been through enough experiences from your perspective to think that your story would be a good story to tell? Have you been through some shit? Have you been through the fire? Through the wire, through the limit, through the wall, and have a chance of love. I'm saying, every life that I know of has, you know, trial and error, failure, triumph. Sometimes even championships are won, and sometimes catastrophic mistakes, failures, and events have happened. But it's all in your life story. Would you ever consider typing one up, writing one down? Have you been working on your life story? Or let me ask you this. Have you been waiting for some people to pass away before you can go ahead and pursue that project? Because I can relate to that, you know, trying to wait for certain people to not be around, not just so they can dispute it or deny it, but maybe because the truth that you have to tell that would be included in your story or in your book would be embarrassing. It might make them really uncomfortable. And it may be someone that you love, like you may have to tell the truth on your grandmother. Or your parents, aunties, uncles, cousins, brothers, sisters, best friends, long-time friends, associates, acquaintances, people who are significant in your life story, people who played integral roles, but maybe not the roles that other people thought that they played. Maybe you have some truths and some facts that they may not want to address. For example, let's say you have a history of messing around with other people's men or other people's women. Maybe it was a situation where you messed around with your cousins or your brothers or your sisters, man or woman, and there was a pregnancy that came out of it. And maybe that was your first pregnancy. Can you imagine? Can you imagine messing around with your sister's man and him possibly taking your virginity? Now, it might not be a situation where it was sexual assault. It may have been consensual. But imagine falling in love with your sister's boyfriend and him being your first sexual experience or your first good sexual experience and a pregnancy coming out of it and that leading up to your first or only abortion. And imagine that changing your whole life and imagine you having to pretend that it was somebody else. So it wouldn't be as grimy, slimy. But that might be what you need to put in the book because that might have shaped or altered how you conducted your relationships for the rest of your life. Imagine your sister's boyfriend or your sister's husband or your sister's boyfriend who became your sister's husband being the one man that you have ever been in love with. All the other men that you've dealt with, you were never really in love with them. You're still in love with your sister's boyfriend. You might not want to put that in the book, or you might not be able to put that in the book, but that might be in the book that you would have to write if you decided to write a tell-all. So you might be ready. You might be waiting for your sister to not. Well, you might. It might be more than just your sister. Your whole family is involved in this whole situation. It's going to have an impact on the whole family, on some old soul food shit. Remember the movie Soul Food? Remember in the movie Soul Food when the cousin came to visit? The cousin came to visit and got tossed up by, you know what I mean? They had a little trite. Broke up the family. Messed up things in the family. So, you know, there can be certain material that might have to go in the tell-all that you might not want to put in the tell-all. There might be material in the tell-all that you might not want to put in the tell-all, but that has to go in the tell-all. Like the real meat of your experiences might have, they might be of a classified nature, top secret, classified, I can't tell it. That's it's classified, I can't tell nobody. That's only between me and God. It is classified, I can't tell nobody but God. It's classified, only me and God can know. Can't let it show. And I've been in this turmoil, carrying a weight for the whole life. And I'm in a state of confusion. Sometimes I feel like I'm losing. Even when I'm winning, gotta take it back to the beginning. I know that one day it's all going to come on out, but I won't be the one who tells it. But I want to write the tell-all. But can I talk about those experiences that I had? I know that me and my dad, we did a whole lot of shit. And sometimes God sweep a lot of things under the rug, and I can't ever reveal it. And that's the truth, and that's the word, yo. Yo. If you could write a tell-all, would you write a tell-all? I said, if you could write a tell-all, would you write a tell-all? Let's get it popping. Urban Therapy with Sun 752, and this is the Urban Therapy with Sun Show. We do this every single Sunday from 1 p.m. till around 2:30-ish. And the reason that we say 2:30-ish is because sometimes it gets so heated that we just have to do a little OT on a Sunday. And it is Sunday. This is a show where adults come out and play with other adults. We laugh, we cry, we argue, fuss, and fight. Go back and forth with each other, bust it up all crazy. We take an introspective look into our own personality to see the way that the universe projects us into this thing called the world and try to figure out this thing called life. I am your host, Sun752. A.K.A. Omar with the rrrr. And if you can't say Omar with the rrrr, well, then you just say Omar with the R. Today on the Urban Therapy with Sun Show, we are talking about if you could write a tell-all, would you write a tell-all? If you could write a tell-all, would you write a tell-all book? Tell it all. Would you talk about it in an interview? Would you write an e-book? Would you write a, what's the audio book? Would you tell your story? More than likely, if you are a reader, an avid reader, or maybe even not even an avid reader, you know, maybe you're just the type of person that reads books when they catch your attention. But most celebrities or public figures whose books I have read or listened to, because I love listening to audiobooks. And let me ask y'all something. When audiobooks when you listen to an audiobook, are they reading off the script of the book, the actual pages? That's what I need to know, because when you listen to an audiobook, can you actually say that you read the book or nah? I want to know. Because some audiobooks take 8 hours to listen to or more. I mean, matter of fact, Mad Fizzy, it can take a good while to listen to an audiobook. Let me go to my Audible. Let me go to my Audible. Library. So let me go over some of the books that I have. All right. So if I look over some of the books that I have in my library, like I have these are some of the books that are in my library. Let me just put y'all on, let y'all know the kind of stuff that that interests me. Funny My Way, Area 51, Far Cry, The History of Gangster Rap, The Light We Carry by Michelle Obama. And by the way, The History of Gangster Rap was written by Soren Baker, Exhibit, narrated by James Shippey. Okay. Chuck Berry, by R.J. Smith. The Trump Tapes by Bob Woodward. Finding Me by Viola Davis. Fearing the Black Body by Sabrina Strings. Ballad of the Bullet by Forrest Stewart. Stalin, yes, Joseph Stalin. Yeah, I like that kind of shit. By Simon Sebag Montefiore. The 90s by Chuck Klosterman. Songs That Shook the Planet by Chuck D. Signed, Sealed, and Delivered by Mark Rybowski. And that's, Signed, Sealed, and Delivered is about Stevie Wonder. The Harlem Plug by Harlem Holiday. The One by R.J. Smith. Unfuck Yourself by Gary John Bishop. Atomic Habits by James Clear. The Meaning of Mariah Carey by Mariah Carey. Oh, I didn't tell y'all. Okay. Anyway. I'm Still a 10-Year-Old Boy by Nancy Cartwright. Freeway Rick Ross by Rick Ross and Kathy Scott. The real Rick Ross. Not like the rapper Rick Ross. Okay. Will by Will Smith and Mark Manson. BMF by Mara Shalhoub. Psychological Astrology and the 12 Houses by Mr. Noel Eastwood. The Soulmate Equation by Christina Lauren. Zero Fail by Carol Leonig, I guess. Alpha Male Bible by Sean Wayne. How to Analyze. Okay, this is a lot. Damn, I ain't realized I had this. I'm not going to go over these. But most of the books, some of the books are like, 10 hours, 6 hours. How long is Michelle Obama's book? 9 hours and 59 minutes. So are they reading the actual book? If y'all know, put me on, But anyway, I didn't mean to take up so much of y'all time reading that, but, just to let you know, all of the books that I read are nonfiction. I don't read any fictional stuff. So the reason I like nonfiction, because I think the human possibilities, the possibilities of the things that actually happen with people or a person are limitless, according to the experiences that have been relayed to us by people who have gone through those things. So what about you? The questions that I wanted to ask before I started rattling off my library was, do you think, number one, are they reading the actual book when they do the audio book? And can you consider yourself to have read the book if you only listen to the words being written by the book in the book? Now, I know mentally, I don't think that you get the same mental exercise by listening to someone read you a book as you would by actually reading it yourself. But I'm going to protect the bedtime story. And I say the bedtime story because a lot of parents have read to their children before they went to sleep. They read them a bedtime story. And children seem to remember a lot of the things that were said to them or read to them before they went to sleep. It's really good for a child to have that type of, to be able to be in that imaginative mode before they go to sleep. So scientists have said, so psychologists have said, a lot of things that you do before you go to bed and during your sleep, they say really sticks with you. They say that if you listen to a book, I'm sorry, if you listen to music or any type of lecture while you're asleep, subliminally it seeps in. You'll actually remember that stuff in some type of way during your waking moment. But anyway, if you could write a tell-all, would you write a tell-all? If you could write a tell-all, would you write a tell-all? If you could write a tell-all, would you write a tell-all? Would you write a tell-all? Stacey White, when she says, yes, I've been working on it. I've been working on it. She says, I told you, I call them heathens. The Bible is on audio, and you can say you read it if you get it on there. All right. I don't know. How long does it take to read the Bible? Because even if you read the Bible, it's written in a language that's going to make you have to have it explained anyway. Like, I don't know the words they be using in the Bible. You know, they use the words from an old broken language, old broken English language. Like, I don't even know thou this and, you know what I mean, sayeth that is, I don't know. I don't be understanding. You be understanding? Right. And so much of the Bible is left up to interpretation. But hey, it is or what it is. It is what it is. But anyway, if you could write a tell-all, would you write a tell-all? And what would you tell all of? You know, is the story that you have to tell full of triumph? Is it full of failure? Is it full of terror? Are most of the experiences that you've had in your life of a scary nature? Have you spent a lot of your time being nervous, being apprehensive? Being afraid to express yourself, afraid to tell anybody what has happened to you, afraid to tell anybody what you have gone through, afraid to tell anybody who was there. If you could write a tell-all, would you write a tell-all? And what would you tell all of? If you could write a tell-all, what would you tell all? And what would you tell all of? Protecting people. Hold on. All right, TK Wright says, people have definitely told me to do that. I started it in my teens, but there was still so much life to live. Hell yeah. Imagine writing your life story as a teenager, because you really feel like you've been through it. You know what I mean? You know, teenagers say all kinds of stuff like, you know, I haven't been through it all. I have seen it all. And we say that because we have been through so many negative experiences, maybe as a teenager, maybe in our 20s. But by the time we become 30 years old, we think that we really have been through everything just because we have been through those dark places, those dark storms, those really, really bad storms. We don't even understand the balance of nature and the balance of life. We don't understand how, before we can start saying that we've seen all of anything, we have to balance out the bad with the good. We got to get it somewhere like this, at least like this. We can't have it like that. We definitely can't have it like that, good or bad. We can't have it that far in balance and say that we've seen it all and done it all. You know, although we may have painful experiences as we go through our lives, we're not experiencing pain all day, every day, unless we are severely depressed, and some of us are. But even when you are severely depressed, you have to understand that that's not your reality. It's your perception. And although perception is sometimes as strong or even stronger than reality, it's not always, or even most of the time, it's not the truth. It's our truth, but it's not the truth. You know, our truth, the truth. The lines can get crazy blurred, baby. They can get crazy blurred, baby. What you gonna do? What you gonna do, fool? Well, we gonna work it out. Stacey White says, a tell-all book is really therapy for the person. Well, I'm glad you brought that up. Is it always therapy for the person? Because a lot of times we think that we're going to do something that is going to help us feel better, and sometimes it don't make us feel better. Like, sometimes we perpetrate violence against a person thinking that will make us feel better, and it doesn't make us feel better. Sometimes we vandalize property, public property, private property, and we think it's going to make us feel better, and it doesn't make us feel better. You know, if you've ever bust out the windows of your man's car, or your woman's car, if you a bitch ass nigga, just saying. Because I do consider flattening tires and busting out windows to be a female thing to do. Like, that ain't no. The only way I would ever consider damaging another man's car is if he refused to. I would have to be so angry and incensed that I would figure, like, if this is the only way I can make this dude come out and fight me, I'll do it. But trust me, my spirit wouldn't let me do it. How am I look slashing somebody's tires? That don't even sound like something a man could do. Like, I'm like, here I am taking out my knife. I'm puncturing a tire. Yep. Like, that don't sit well with me. I'm not sure if I could get past that. Or busting out a man's window in his car. Like, his car ain't him. I ain't his lover. He don't love his car more than me. I don't care about nothing like that. And I say that because I consider most women who damage their man's property, it's normally because they figure that man loves that thing more than they love that woman. Or that's the thing that they use to get the thing that they love more than that woman. My psychology, that hasn't been proven by anybody. I didn't get that from anybody, just from personal experience. I've never had that done to me, but when I've seen it done to other people, it kind of has. Oh, you love his car? Well, he said he loved me too, and he hurt me, so I'm going to hurt the other thing that he loves. All right, anyway, yeah, the only way I would do that is if, let's say, a dude was hiding out in the house and I needed him to come out and confront me, and he wouldn't do it. That's probably the only thing I could think of. Even then, it wouldn't make sense to me, because he could shoot me from his window or something like that and get away with it. Be like, yo, he was damaging my car. He was trying, you know what I mean? I don't know if the cops would look at it that way, but I think when he went to court, he could say, I was just shooting in his direction because he was damaging my vehicle or whatever, and I wound up shooting. I only wanted to scare him, Your Honor. Anyway, yeah, writing a book being therapy for a person might be the intention. I wonder if it would hit the mark. for everybody, or would that, or is that the biggest motivation for a lot of people who wrote or want to write a tell-all? For therapeutic reasons. Right. I need to put my story out there because it'll make me feel better. It'll make me feel better. That work for you? Does that work for you? Well, I think that's a pretty decent motivation for writing a tell-all. I do. I agree. Would it do it? I don't know. I don't know. For some people, I think writing a tell-all book would be like snitching. And they might not want to do that. Not for everybody. But for a lot of people, writing a tell-all book might be like snitching. And it might also be a way to incriminate yourself. Self-incrimination. So how do you tell all when your involvement has been of a sinister nature, of an illicit nature, of an unlawful nature? Here you are writing a book telling on yourself. Well, do y'all remember the rapper Prodigy from Mobb Deep? He wrote a tell-all book. And it was called My Infamous Life by Prodigy of Mobb Deep. And it was a pretty popular book, and it ruffled a lot of feathers. It ruffled a lot of feathers because Prodigy told a lot of stories about his experience in the rap game, coming up, the way he was brought into this world, his relationship with his father, his mother, his grandmother, who ran a dance school. She ran a dance school in New York, and it was a very successful dance school. So many of the celebrities, the black celebrities that we've seen go on and do big things, were people who were trained by who went to the dance school by Prodigy's grandmother. So although he claimed Queens Bridge Project, he's not from Queens Bridge Project. His mother worked for the Housing Authority in Queens Bridge Project. And so he was always in Queens Bridge Projects with his mother. So that's how he knew a lot of the people in Queens Bridge Project. But no, he's not from the bridge. He ain't from QB. And people that are actually from QB were quick to note that. Like, well, he ain't from QB. But anyway, he wrote this book talking about certain rappers in the rap game like Nas and Havoc and Nature and Noid and Cormega and Jay-Z and a lot of really popular rappers that you know of and have heard of. He wrote about them because, you know, he's had experiences with them. He's had good and bad experiences with them. So anyway, a lot of people disputed the claims that Prodigy made in his tell-all book because they said that it was just untrue. And a lot of the stuff that he wrote was written from a perspective nature. And Prodigy himself admitted that some of the stuff might not have actually happened the way that he reported. Some of the stuff was a little janky. It was a little questionable. It was less than accurate. Were they straight up lies? Maybe some of them were. For whatever reason. But Prodigy passed away in, I believe, 2017. Let me see. When did Prodigy of Mobb Deep die?
Prodigy died on June 20th, 2017.
Yep. So, he was born on November 2nd, 1974, and died at 42 years old, June 20th, 2017. So, him writing that book, like I said, it ruffled a lot of feathers in the rap game. A lot of people felt some kind of way about some of the stories that he wrote because he wrote it from his perspective. He wrote it the way that he saw it. He wrote it the way he wanted to write it because it was his book. Tell all. So, a lot of people didn't think that they deserved to be told all in his book, especially since they don't feel like Prodigy told all. He told some. Because I noticed, yeah, for that to be a tell-all book, he sure made himself seem very faithful in his relationships. He certainly did. You know, he was born on November 2nd. That makes him a full-fledged November Scorpio. Now, I don't know what y'all know. And I don't know who y'all know. But a Scorpio conveniently leaving out any of his sexual exploits and painting himself as a loyal boyfriend is a little preposterous. Am I saying that it can't be done? No. But it's fucking preposterous. Especially given his status, you know. Like. But it was a good, listen. It was. It was a very good listen. Very engaging. But I'm a true hip hopper, so of course. Of course I'm going to be into it. But that was his version of a tell-all book. What would your version of a tell-all book be? Would it be something like him? Many people who aren't celebrities write about their experience with celebrities. Look, I know a bunch of people who have taken pictures and have been backstage and have somehow been connected to celebrities, and they're not celebrities. Like Corinne Stephens, for example. You know, Superhead. If you would. Superhead, she's not a celebrity. Well, she's kind of a celebrity now. Well, she has celebrity status now. But she wasn't a singer or dancer or performer or an actor or nothing. Nothing. What she was a dick sucking specialist. So she performed on all of the rappers and all of the sports celebrities and all of that kind of stuff. But she was very famous. And she wrote a tell-all book. Threw everybody under the bus. Oh, yeah, I sucked him off. I fucked him. She threw. Her tell-all was yeah. Her tell-all was on some other shit. And still is. But many people refuted and disputed her claims. Like, well, that's not exactly how it happened. Yeah, she used to go down on me all the time, but wait a minute. You know, some of the stuff that she's saying, you know, didn't happen the way she said that it happened, or it didn't happen at all, and how come she doesn't want to talk about her own shit? Like, she's so busy, keeping the files and receipts on everybody else who she has let enter her mouth and her legs, but she don't say nothing about what came out of her womb. Like, in other words, people say that she had another child that she doesn't claim and all kinds of stuff. So there's often, you know, you write a tell-all book, you have to consider that somebody might be telling some things that you didn't tell all of. Like, I got it from here. I'm telling all too. Like, you look at Tina Turner. With her book, What's Love Got to Do with It, right? Was that a form of a tell-all book? Was that a form of a tell-all book? Maybe. Maybe to some it was, maybe to some it wasn't. But in the book, as opposed to the movie dramatized or did a dramatization of some of the events in the book. And they, one of the events that they had in the movie that wasn't in the book because it wasn't true was the rape scene by Ike on Tatina. The rape scene in the studio. But they call it a rape scene. That's what they called it. Shout out to any and everybody who has ever been a victim of sexual assault. But I don't remember in that scene in the movie where she said no. I do notice that he didn't ask, but I don't remember her saying no or wait or any of that. Now, I don't know. But anyway, that scene in the movie never happened in real life. And Tina Turner actually admitted that. But the producers, the directors and the producers of the film thought it would be a good scene for the movie. And that scene is the scene that made the whole world or anybody who was a fan of Tina Turner hate Ike Turner for good. Many people consider that scene in that movie to be the catalyst that made Ike Turner spiral back into his addiction, his cocaine addiction, which eventually led to his death. Now, can we blame it all on that? No. Is it a factor? Absolutely. And by the way, Ike Turner was a Scorpio. You know they can't handle the whole world being against them. They can't handle that heat. You know, they like to keep things on the low. You know what I mean? They like to keep it on the low. They can't have everybody pointing their fingers and talking and, you know what I mean? Anyway, Stacey White says, I have all kinds of journals ever since I was 5 years old, and my mother knew what she was doing when she gave me that. Ooh. Stacey White also says, some people don't even make a tell-all book. They make a movie. True. So, make sure y'all hit the like button, y'all. I know it ain't a lot of y'all in here. It don't matter. Now, we rock out for who showed up. But make sure y'all hit the like button. Make sure that y'all share the show. Make sure that y'all subscribe to the channel. If you haven't subscribed to the channel yet, this is the Urban Therapy with Sun Show. I'm your host, Sun752. And we are talking about if you could write a tell-all, would you write a tell-all? If you could write a tell-all book, would you write a tell-all book? If you could write a tell-all book, would you write a tell-all book? Are you afraid to tell it all? Or do you say, man, I'm telling all? It's up to you. Do you have friends and families or associates that tell you, man, you need to write a book? You can get paid. I have been told that by many and plenty. Oh, you got to write a book. Oh, you got to write a book. Oh, you write a book. You got to write a book. And I'm thinking, like, I can't write no book. I can't tell what some people have done, and I can't untell what I ain't worried about myself. I'm going to just tell you that straight up and down. But everybody can't handle that heat, and I understand. I understand, overstand. I totally get it. But would you do it? Would you write a tell-all book? Would it make you feel better? As you're writing, if you've been, like, for example, Stacey, since you've been working on your book, does it make you feel better as you add in or take out material? You know, are you going in the direction with the material for your book that you think is relevant? Does it make you feel better about yourself? I got this thing. I don't like to do things that don't make me feel good about myself. I don't mind hard work. I don't mind chipping in, helping people, doing things. But I don't like to do things that don't make me feel good about myself. And that's why I don't take the type of chances I know a lot of people take. Because I know it's not going to make me feel better. So that's why I think twice before I become violent towards somebody. And even before I decide to cuss them out. Give them a piece of my mind. Or put them in their place. Like, has putting somebody in their place put you in a better mental space? Did it put you in a better place? Because that's the kind of shit I'd be wondering. Did it make you feel better? Did it make you feel better? Because on the real, if something doesn't make me feel better, I don't really want to be a part of it. I understand some things can help others, but helping others should help you feel better about yourself. No, come on, man. You should get something out of the deal. You should get something out of the deal. So helping others should help you too. Why not? It should. And you can make it that way. All right. We about to get up out of here. We have some birthday shout out. We have some birthday shout outs to do. Some people were born on this glorious. July 23rd, the first day of Leo. The lion is coming through. And you know how we do. I said the lion's coming through. You know how we do. What's up, y'all? Let's do it. All right. Rawr. Number one out the box. All right. We have some birthday shout outs to do. Some people were born on this glorious. July 23rd, and they deserve to be acknowledged. So let's go about our business of acknowledging them. Make it feel special because they are special because they are special because they are S-E-E-C-I-A-L. Think it's the R-E-S-P-E-C-C. They are S-P-E-C-I-A-L. Think it's the R-E-S-P-E-C-C. They are S-P-E-C-I-A-L. Think it's the R-E-S-P-E-C-C. They get number one out the box. Ridian Ann, happy birthday to you turning 52 years old today. And also Valerie White, happy birthday to you. And Caprice Porter, turning 43 years old today. And Tamina Mimi Hughes, happy birthday to you. And Shalisa Webb, turning 45 years old today. And Shelly Seals, my girl, go get her, Shelly Seals, turning 47 years old today. And Kevin Williams, turning 45 years old today. And Robert Bailey, turning 54 years old today. And Amber Bonner, turning 42 years old today. And Shalise Brower, turning 63 years old today. And Devon Hammond, happy birthday to you. And Toy Gilliard, happy birthday to you. And my girl Marley, turning 40 years old today. And Joanna Parker, turning 35 years old today. And Yemi He, she's actually the twin of Devon Hammond's, happy birthday to you, turning 54 years old. It's funny because Devonna doesn't put her age, but a twin puts her age. So guess what? Ah, I said, ah. And also David House, happy birthday to you. And Stacy C. Womack, happy birthday to you. And my man, Eric White, turning 55 years old today. And my man, Robert Santiago, happy birthday to you. And Claudia Robinson, happy birthday to you. And last but not least, my girl, Renee Ivy. As you can see, it's a lot of Leo birthdays today. They've been waiting all July to, you know what I mean, turn up and roar and all of that. Happy birthday to all of y'all. I hope that today finds you all in good health, happiness, mind, body, soul, and spirit. And we know you're going to rock out, rock on. Rock out, rock on. That goes out to any and everybody out there born on this glorious, glorious, glorious July 23rd, anywhere out there in the world, worldwide, internationally, and universally. All of y'all go ahead and turn up, but don't turn up too loud. Just turn up loud enough so everybody can hear you. I rock out, rock on, and do the dance, rock out, rock on, and do the damn, rock out, rock on, and do the damn thing, and do your thing, y'all. Represent the queens and kings, and do your thing, y'all. Represent the queens and kings. Good things happen to those who wait. Great things happen to those who grind. And anything can happen to those who go for theirs. So go hard, go for yours, and remember, man. Listen, you want to tell a, if you have a tell-all story to tell all of, maybe you want to put it in a book. Is putting it in a tell-all book a good look? Is putting it in a tell-all book a good look? Well, that's for you to decide, because you know the characters that would have to go in there. You know what you've done. You know what they've done. You know how the impact will be felt by all parties involved. And it's not always easy trying to protect others who have done something or involved themselves in some type of way in the story that you are a part of. But it's your decision. It's your decision to make. Many people have made this decision to write a tell-all based on how they felt. Like, listen, you're going to get this work. And other people said, nah, son, nah. Ain't nobody got to know. Ain't nobody got to know, and ain't nobody got to tell. But if you decide to do that tell-all book, the only advice that I can give to you is make sure that you feel good about what you're telling about, what you're writing about, what you're putting out there. Because what you put out there can't be put back in the box. Once you put it out, once you let it out, put it out, take it out, you can't put it back in. Lightning in a bottle, baby. Peace to all my day ones, my everydays, and my brand news. I love y'all to death. Resuscitate y'all. Love y'all right back to life. We will be back tomorrow with another Daily Go-Get-Emism show at 7 p.m. So make sure y'all come through. Make sure y'all hit the like button. Make sure that y'all share the show. Make sure that y'all subscribe to the channel if you haven't subscribed to the channel yet. And Blog Talk, we going to get you out of here. Yeah. And for my YouTubers, you know just how we do, but thanks for coming on through. See you on the other side.